From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. This morning's offering from News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams pays homage to one of South Florida's iconic coastal plant varieties, mangroves. According to the State Department of Environmental Protection, Florida is home to an estimated 469,000 acres of mangrove forests, and this halophyte's ecological importance simply can't be overstated. Aside from trapping and cycling organic materials and nutrients from the water, mangroves provide a protected nursery environment for a variety of fish, crustaceans, and shellfish, and is a favored food site for many marine species as well. Above the water's surface, mangrove branches serve as rookeries for coastal birds, from roseate spoonbills to brown pelicans. And all of these characteristics make a mangrove forest an ideal spot to spend a day exploring the wonders of our region's coastal environment, as Williams tells us in this week's essay.
Early summer is one of Southwest Florida's best-kept secrets, those few glorious weeks between the snowbird's northern migration and summertime swelter, when the whole region heaves a collective sigh of delicious relief. The place is ours again. So when a recent Saturday dawned overcast and breezy, we awoke half giddy with that realization, abandoning the errands, chucking the cleaning, and leaving the laundry, we headed south. Destination? Bunch Beach, a long crescent curling into the Caloosahatchee's muddy, mangrove-fenced estuary. Roger and I had courted there back in the day when it was the province of afternoon cruisers who'd skulk along the shore, eyeing each other, gesturing, before ducking in among the prop roots. We'd chuckle in their wake, thankful for a relationship that would outlast an afternoon. We knew not to look too carefully at the trash rack hung up on the pneumatophores, instead focusing on coupled King's Crown conchs bulldozing the mudflats in long loops, the osprey circling each other over the sandflats, horseshoe crabs bumping shells in the shallows, and sea worms oozing out gelatinous streams of egg masses like risque thought bubbles. Ickiness aside, it was such a marvelously fecund place, and once Lee County chased off the tristers, it became one of the best spots to bring our baby, then toddler, and now teen. Over the years, Nash has watched the sandbars subtly shift, seen Rock Creek slightly alter its course, these are dynamic systems, we told him, and noted the waning patches of seagrass. Bringing him back the other day was part discovery, part homecoming. The kid, who'd once upon a time squinched and squealed at sunscreen, now slathered it on himself before we set off. The tide was against us, but Nash pointed out that made the swimming better. We decided to ford Rock Creek, heading toward the Sanibel Causeway, while leaving the thin crowds behind. A gabbling knot of black skimmers watched us warily from a spit of sand as Nash hunted washed-up coconuts. Silvery ladyfish exploded away from our splashing steps as the sun spangled the breeze-ruffled water. After all this loveliness, what was there to do but get good and muddy? Nash and I headed for a mangrove tunnel while Roger kept his sensible distance. Soon, we were knee-deep in flan-textured muck slogging through a mangrove tangle when I saw movement ahead of me. What looked like an overturned soup dish was gliding along the bottom, followed by a whip-thin tail, a horseshoe crab. Remembering that I had my phone with me, safely sheathed in a waterproof case, I lowered it into the water to get a crab's eye view of the critter. Or maybe I should say crab's eyes. These ancient creatures have no fewer than 10 golden eyes, along with bright blue blood, I told Nash, delivering the oft-repeated lecture on the marvels of this animal, which is not a crab at all, but more closely related to spiders. Nash listened politely, as he always does, but only really perked up when I pulled the creature out of the water so we could take a closer look. That tail, I told him, is actually an appendage called a telson, which serves more for balance and possesses no ability to sting, despite its sinister appearance. Same goes for its wriggly legs, each tipped with a scissory pincer that can do no more than grip food. The upended crab struggled feebly as I gave my impromptu anatomy lesson, then scuttled away once I put it back into the water. Nash seemed less than impressed, but later, when I asked him if he'd had a good time, his answer was emphatic. "I love the mangroves," he told me, "even if navigating them is arduous." As I was chuckling about his word choice, he went on, "Every time we go exploring in them, we find treasure."